translation, those with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body, O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. Purport. A living entity appears to be born because of the birth of the material body, but actually the living entity is eternal. He is not born, and in spite of his being situated in a material body, he is transcendental and eternal. Thus he cannot be destroyed. By nature he is full of bliss. He does not engage himself in any material activities. Therefore the activities performed due to his contact with material bodies do not entangle him. Anadit vanirgunatvat paramatmayam avyayaha shariraso pikantaya nakaroti na lipyate. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body, O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. Om jnanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun nilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama sreshtam manamapi shakti putra matra swarupam rupam tasyagrajam urupurim maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripayak shrigurum tam natosmi vandeham shriguru shriyatafpada kamalam shrigurun vaishnavamsa shrirupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakantitam Cha. Srila Prabhupada, in his translation of the verse, refers to people with the vision of eternity. What does that mean? That means a person who can see beyond what Srila Prabhupada called this spot life. Spot life. We are just here in this body for a very short time. If someone lives for 100 years, we think they're a very old person. But actually, it's in eternity, it's a very short time. And we understand from the Vedic knowledge that we go from body to body to body to body. So what is this life? It's just blip, come and gone. But those with the vision of eternity understand that before I was born I existed, and after I die I will continue to exist. Now many people will nod their head. This is Hindu belief, but it's more than Hindu belief. One who actually sees like that, their whole approach is different. Now, people might believe that because they're born in a Hindu family, but and that's what Hindus believe. But actually, to understand that, the implications of it, means that we're going to lead our life in a different way to someone who, being deluded by Maya, the illusory energy of Krishna, thinks that, well, I'm here to enjoy myself. One who understands that I'm just here for a short time. After that, I have to go somewhere else. And depending on what I do now, that will affect my future. I'm in the present situation I'm in because of activities I performed previously, and I'm going to get a future result according to what I do now. And especially the human form of life is very important. There's a common misconception that you only get born in human bodies. I mean, people who accept the principle of what is called reincarnation they often think that you're only born in human bodies. But why should that be? Why should you only be born in human bodies? For instance, people who like to eat meat, they'd be better off in a tiger body. So that's what nature gives them. People who like to be nudies in this country, it's not in this weather, I guess, but on the occasions that the sun comes out, some people like to be nudies. They like to go around naked. So by the laws of nature, in their next life, they'll become a tree, because a tree stands naked. People who like to inflict violence on others for fun, that's some people in this country do that, right? They just attack others for no reason other than they get some kind of perverted pleasure out of seeing others suffer. So in their next life they'll become a snake, because that's the propensity of a snake, just to bite someone with no reason. So you get what you want and you get what you deserve. So it's not necessarily that you're going to get born in a human form of life. The Vedic knowledge teaches us that there are 8,400,000 species of life. And the human birth is very rare. But it's only in human life that one has the possibility to think, who am I, where am I going, what am I doing? The snake, the dog, the cat, the tree, they're all living beings, but they can't think about what they're doing. You like to sit and listen? There's very important things. You won't hear this anywhere else. You won't get this on the TV or in the school or anywhere. So it's only in the human form of life that we have sufficient intelligence to even consider these things and to act accordingly. In other forms of life, we're just living off the karmic reactions from human life. What we do in this life will affect us for many lives in future. So in human life, because there's more intelligence, there's the possibility to think about these things, and there's also responsibility. Because in human life, if we eat meat from a slaughterhouse, we have to suffer a sinful reaction for that. The tiger doesn't suffer sinful reactions for attacking another animal and killing it, because the tiger doesn't have the intelligence to think what is right and what is wrong. Only in the human form of life do we have sufficient intelligence, and with intelligence comes responsibility. We can choose what to do. And we should find out what is the right thing to do and what is the wrong thing to do. It's not, as some people imagine in the modern age, that there's no real right and wrong, you can do what you like. What is right or wrong is subjective. No, there are laws of nature. Just as in physics they teach that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. So that's true on the karmic sphere also. You can't go around mistreating people, even just like something, it might not seem you're harming anyone. Well, what's the harm if you get drunk? Is if you don't do any harm to anyone. But that's also sinful, because you're harming yourself. You're misusing your human life. So there is right and wrong, and we are not the ones who decide that. There is God who speaks this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna. And for actions that are properly performed, we get good reactions. You can go to persons who act piously, they can go to heavenly planets. And people who act sinfully, they go to hellish conditions. Now, some people don't believe in hell, But we can see it all around us. We see people in this world in hellish conditions. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, our founder, Acharya, Guru, when he was present here in London in 1973, I think it was, he was asked by one of his disciples if the Bhagavad Gita is spoken in hell. And Prabhupada said, I am here, I'm speaking Bhagavad Gita, London is hell. So we may think, well, why is it hell? But, well, I mean, with this kind of weather, not only the weather, but the mentality of many of the people is hellish, as we were just discussing. There are many people who will inflict pain on others and think that that's fun to do so. That's a hellish mentality, isn't it? That's not a saintly mentality. That's a hellish mentality. And people, some people, they go out deliberately looking for trouble. I suggest that you leave a little pathway so people can come in. Leave a little passageway. Please come in. Hare Krishna, you're welcome. So that's a hellish consciousness. And there are, I mean, even people who are not going out and looking for trouble, trying to make trouble for others, everyone's in anxiety. That's a hellish condition, isn't it? When you spend your whole life in anxiety and stress. And what to speak of people who are living in conditions where any time they can be bombed. So these are hellish conditions. Even on this planet, we see hellish conditions. Now, here in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about the platform of knowledge that in the human form of life we are supposed to develop. Human life has a responsibility. In this human form of life, we are supposed to utilize our time and our energy to understand the purpose of life, that there is actually a purpose of life more than earning money, having fun, so-called. We're supposed to consider what is our situation. Now that's described by here in Bhagavad Gita. What is the situation of this material world? Janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukha doshanudarshanam. A symptom of knowledge, someone who has knowledge, is that he sees the miseries of birth, death, old age and disease. Now, again, many Hindus will say, yes, yes, we know about that, birth, death, old age and disease. But to actually see with the vision of eternity, not just to say, yes, yes, we're Hindus, we believe in the miseries of birth, death, old age and disease. But if we actually see that, if we're actually aware always that the condition in this material world is one of suffering, then we will not try to live in this world to enjoy it. But the sensible thing to do is to live in this world to get out of it. If we think, well, let me be pious and do some good activities and in my next life I'll get a good birth, that is a little bit more intelligent than just living a profligate life and just, you know, drinking, smoking and going around without any concern about what will be the reactions. So if one is concerned to have a pious future and tries to act in a way that one doesn't commit sins and performs pious activities, well, that is better than just living a wild life without any consideration of what will happen in future. But more intelligent is to see that even if I do have I act in a pious way, I do good things, but still, whatever situation we get in this material world, it's still suffering because janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha dosha anudarshanam. there's always, everywhere in this material world, there's birth, death, old age and disease, and these are miserable. So an intelligent person, a really intelligent person, doesn't act simply in a pious way, but acts in a manner to get free from all suffering. And there's a level up even from that, which is not simply to get free from suffering, but to consider that all of us, actually what we really want is happiness. Who can deny it? Everyone, everything that every living being does at every moment is meant for happiness, right? But where is the happiness in this world? Therefore, even higher than the quest for mukti is to find out the position of eternal bliss. Can you imagine that? I think it's difficult to imagine in our present situation. But we as spiritual beings, the complete fulfillment of the spiritual condition is to be overwhelmed with bliss at every moment, with no birth, no death, no old age, no disease. So what is that situation? That is described here in Bhagavad Gita, and more so in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone should study Bhagavad Gita, and having done so, Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that we ever stop studying Bhagavad Gita, but the Srimad Bhagavatam gives more elaboration on the topics in Bhagavad Gita. And if you think, I'm too busy, I don't have time for all this, then at least you come, time to time, here, and listen. Because, that, as you're doing now. Because actually that's the traditional system, that one can learn by hearing. One should hear these topics. So there is a condition quite opposite to that of this material world, which is full of suffering. This material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. The example is given, just like a tree, if you see reflected in a lake, you'll see that it looks exactly like the original tree, except that everything's upside down. So like that, this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, but everything's upside down. Nothing makes sense. In the material world, we see there are people, families, communities, people trying to be happy, and misery. And in the spiritual world, there are people, family, communities. It's all there, but it's pure bliss. That is with Krishna in the spiritual world. Krishna is Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Lakshavriteshu Surabhir Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambhrama Sevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Govinda, Krishna, is the original person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is to be worshipped by everyone, even Brahma, the great creator of this universe. And Krishna lives in the spiritual world, where all the buildings and the houses, they're not made of cement or bricks, but they're made of Chintamani, which means touchstone or wish fulfilling stone. Whatever desire you have is fulfilled. But then people don't desire useless things. They only desire that which is pleasing to Krishna. And the trees also have that quality. There are innumerable cows, because Krishna loves cows. And there are innumerable gopis with Krishna. So this is the situation of this spiritual world, that everyone is completely blissful. And in this material world, people think they are happy, but as the Srimad Bhagavatam states, kim sukham martya dhaminam, Where is the happiness in a place of death? Just that you can imagine if people are they're brought to a concentration camp and they're just being kept there until they're sent to be killed, then are you going to be happy there? Is anyone going to be happy? If you're all taken out and captured and okay, so in 5 days you're all going to be killed. Is anyone going to be happy? But we're all in that situation because it's only a matter of time before we have to die. So why are we trying to be happy in a place where there's guaranteed suffering? That's why Srila Prabhupada translates this here. The vision of eternity. People will say, yes, yes, birth, death, old age and disease, miserable. Yes, yes, we all have to die. But if we actually live with that awareness that at every moment that ticks by, our human life is getting shorter, which is meant for God realization. We have to suffer old age, disease and death. And at any moment it can come. You just don't know when it's going to come. So one who has this awareness doesn't spend their life simply amassing things, amassing objects, trying to be happy through enjoying the senses, eating nice food, watching things on TV or like this. But devotees of Krishna, they do enjoy, but on a different platform to that of materialistic people. We don't say stop enjoying, but enjoy on the spiritual platform with Krishna. Just like everyone likes to eat nice food. But if we eat food which is not offered to Krishna, that becomes sinful. So instead of thinking, let me enjoy nice food, if we think, Krishna, let me offer nice things to him, and then we take prasad, we become completely purified. Just like you see here, Krishna is so beautifully decorated. Isn't it? You've all come here to see. You didn't come here to hear me. You came to see Krishna, right? So Krishna is so beautifully decorated. Well, actually, everyone should have the opportunity to come and take darshan of Krishna daily. In traditional culture, it wouldn't be once a week, once a month, once a year, but people would daily, in every neighborhood or in their houses, people would spend time every day in their own home. They'd either in their own home or in the local temple. They'd bring flowers, decorate Krishna, and in this way perform service to Krishna, because Krishna gives all these nice things and they're actually meant for him. The flowers are very beautiful, but when they're placed on Krishna, they become more beautiful, because Krishna is the source of all beauty. That is the proper use of flowers. So in this way, it's not that we don't enjoy life, but we enjoy life in the best possible way and in a completely pure manner, which takes us beyond birth and death. Nice food, yes, let there be nice food. Let it all be offered to Krishna. But instead of thinking, let me eat nice food, if we think that let's make for offering to Krishna, and then we'll distribute it widely. Why should only I take Krishna prasad? Let it be distributed widely to everyone. And then we lose this sense of selfishness that let me enjoy, and we become happy in serving Krishna and seeing others coming to Krishna by taking Krishna's prasadam, by decorating Krishna very nicely, and then calling others, please come to the temple and see Krishna. So we become pleased, Krishna becomes pleased, and everyone becomes pleased. And this is is way far above even the standard of pious people who are simply thinking, let me do good activities and then I will be happy. And definitely it's far, far above the level of people who attack others, and that's their pleasure. I mean, people with very poor, very low consciousness. So, yeah, the vision of eternity, that I am eternal. So why should I be stuck just thinking about this life when it's going to be finished at any moment? And even if I have a long life, so-called long life, it's not very long. In eternity, it's a very short time. So what is our eternal situation? In this human life, we should consider, what is our eternal situation? Where did I come from? I didn't begin. You can see on your birth certificate, you're born on such and such a date. But we didn't begin to exist then. We always existed. Because the soul is eternal. And sometime, we're all going to have to die. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever yoga exercise or whatever vitamin pills you take or whatever. Everyone has to die. But if we understand, I don't actually die, it's only the body. I am eternal. If we live with that consciousness, then actually we don't die. Because death, the experience or the suffering of death, only occurs because of identification with the body. But if we understand I'm not the body, then we don't die. Actually, we don't die. No one dies because we are not the body. We are the Atma. We are the eternal spirit soul. So no one actually dies. But because we think we are the body, therefore we experience the suffering and the pain of dying. So these are actually very simple principles to understand. But then why don't we understand them? Well, one reason is in modern society no one teaches it. In the schools, they teach you, you have to, you know, get ahead in this life. They don't teach that. And you know, it's the information age through the internet and so many different softwares. There's so much information available. You can look up pretty much anything on the internet at any time and get so much information. But there's no program to teach us the most important thing, which is, who are we and what is the purpose of life? There's a lot of sectarian religion, people saying, believe, you have to believe this. But spiritual knowledge is lacking. So, Srila Prabhupada, he's known as the founder acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He didn't start a religious movement as such, to add to the number of sectarian religious movements, but as a genuine guru, he was a teacher. He wanted to teach people what is reality, what is the actual nature of reality. Who are we? What is our role? What is reality and what is our role within that? So Srila Prabhupada taught that according to Bhagavad Gita, which is the dissertation on the nature of reality. The principles of reality are described. The first thing is to understand that we are eternal living beings. It's not a Hindu belief, but it's a fact. We can understand that. Krishna, he explains that. That just like you see, the body is changing. There's a young girl. Or is it? Young girl, yeah? And then there's the mother. And then the grandmother. Where's the grandmother? She's at home. So if you look at them, they all look a little bit the same. Isn't it? From grandmother to mother to daughter. So when the girl is the same age as you are now, she'll probably look something like you are now. And when you're your mother's present age, you'll look something like that. So the body is always changing, but the person remains the same. When your mother sees you, she remembers seeing you like that. And your body has changed. All the chemicals in your body have changed. But you're the same person. So, you're not the body. Because the body is made of chemicals. But you're not the chemicals. You are the person. And the person remains even though all the chemicals change. That means we are not the body. It's an easy thing to understand. We, the person, are a separate principle from the body, which suggests that we existed before the body, and we will exist after the body, but we experience suffering in this world because of identification with the body. So these points Krishna teaches. It's not a sectarian religious belief. Srila Prabhupada taught this. It's not a sectarian religious belief. As Srila Prabhupada would often say, it is a spiritual science to be understood. It's not that because I'm a Hindu, I believe in birth and death. But it's a scientific principle to understand. And if we understand it, we see with the vision of eternity, then definitely our life, we're not going to live our life in the same way that everyone does. Just simply living what can I enjoy next? We don't live like that. But we live thinking, understanding that I am stuck in this material world. I don't belong here. I belong with Krishna in the spiritual world. Now we might think that, well, if we act like that or think like that, that will make us so much detached from the world that we'll become irresponsible. But Krishna doesn't. See, Krishna's teaching the practical spiritual science. Krishna doesn't teach us to be so detached from this world that we completely forget about it. If we have this spiritual knowledge, we're supposed to share that with others. And if we, whatever situation we're in, please move in a bit, otherwise you're going to block the passageway. If we're in whatever situation we're in this world, we're supposed, according to what Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, we should execute responsibilities according to that situation. So if we take up this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, which we should do, really we should do, we might think, well then I have to leave my family and everything, but Krishna doesn't recommend that. He doesn't say that. He said, what is that? Anasakta sanavishvanga putra dara grihadishu. That one of the symptoms of a person in knowledge is that he's not attached to his home, wife, children and the rest. But having said that to Arjuna, he didn't tell Arjuna to leave his family. One should cultivate detachment while being responsible. In other words, if you're a family man or woman or whatever, if you're in the family, you do your family duties, but at the same time realize this is not my eternal situation. One has a responsibility to, parents have a responsibility to look after the children, but that doesn't mean just clothing them and feeding them, but the main responsibility is to teach them who we are, what is our relationship with Krishna. If you give your children clothing and food and get them well educated and so-called and all these things, but you don't teach them that this world is not our actual place. We don't belong here. We belong in the world of bliss with Krishna. If we don't teach them how to get free from birth and death, then we haven't properly discharged our duties. Everyone, human life is meant for responsibility. Not only for ourselves, that we should act in such a way that we get free from birth and death and go to Krishna, but we have to act with responsibility to others. So those are a few words about the vision of eternity that Krishna speaks about here in Bhagavad Gita. I'll read this verse again, and then if anyone wants to ask any question about this, you will be welcome to do so. So the verse I'll read again. Anaditvan nirgunatvat paramatmayam avyayaha shariraṣṭho pikauntaya nakaroti nalipyate. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body, O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. So if anyone has any question, you're welcome to ask. And I'll try to answer it to the best of my ability according to what I've learned from her. Okay, please, I saw this hand first. According to our mentality and our inclination, we get the next birth. Exactly the description is given in Srimad Bhagavatam that karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papateya. According to our karma, our activities, and daiva netra, that means under the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the various demigods, we get our next body. Supervision. Yeah. Daiva netra. It's the, it's almost in maya dhyakshena, adhyaksha. This means the same as supervision. Oversee means the same thing. Literally the same etymological meaning. So according to our activities and according to what is dished out to us, what is allotted to us by higher authorities. Now, for instance, one may desire to be a leader. One may run a political race. Not everyone becomes the leader. There's one Prime Minister in Britain and probably a few hundred. How many MPs are there? 500, something like that? Anyone know? 500 approximately? Yeah, and they all want to be Prime Minister. But there's only one Prime Minister. So many people are, and apart from them, there are many others who run for the seat, but they don't get it. So one may desire a position of leadership, but due to not having sufficiently pious karmic background, one doesn't get it. But you might get it in the next life, but in a different way to what you thought of. For instance, in India and other countries, there are many street dogs. They run around on the street in packs. They don't attack anyone. They're not dangerous. I mean, they bark at you sometimes, but just show them a stick. You know, you're from India. So, among a pack of dogs, say there are five or six dogs in a pack, one of them is the leader. It means if someone wanted to be a leader in their previous life, and they got their desire fulfilled, but they didn't have the piety to become the Prime Minister, so they became according to their level of piety, they became a leader, but they became a leader of a pack of dogs. So it can be quite complex, and it might not be exactly what you think. We tend to get a position according to our desires, but it might not be exactly the way we thought it would be. What happens to which animals?
In this human body, it's a common reaction which leads to different animal bodies.
Yeah, we can get different animal bodies.
Yeah, those animals don't have any karma as such.
No, well, in other species than human, one is simply enacting karmic reactions. One is not creating new ones. In the human form, we are enacting karmic reactions and making new ones also. Only in the human form. That every moment we are creating new karmic reactions. Unless we are Krishna conscious. As in this verse, which I read today. Shariras-taupi konteya nakaroti na lipyate. One who sees with the vision of eternity, one who acts on the spiritual platform, they don't create new karmic reactions, and they're not entangled in this world. That's what Krishna states here. Yeah, so. We don't chant, but Krishna is chanting. Well, I mean, many people say many different things, but that doesn't make any sense, does it? Does that mean we're all, you're saying that we don't do anything, Krishna does everything, we don't chant, Krishna chants? That's just Mayavad. That there's only one being who's Krishna. We're individuals and we act also. That idea is pure Mayavad. We don't chant, Krishna chants. We don't do anything, Krishna does everything. We have individuality. Otherwise it's then you're saying there's only one entity who's Krishna. That's what's being said. So this is nonsense. Any other questions, comments? No. You're all pious people coming to the temple to see the deity. When you become more pious and more fortunate, then you'll become interested in hearing, not simply for the, as something to do to fill in the time to wait for the darshan, but to, for the sake of transforming one's life and becoming serious in Krishna consciousness. That requires a higher level of piety. Simply seeing the deity, that is good, but when one wants to hear about Krishna and become very serious to serve Krishna, then that is the actual platform by which we can make advancement toward Krishna. Yeah, so if there are no more questions, then Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Books, you're going to present about the books? So it's very bad weather outside, is it? Well, that's good, because there wouldn't be so many people here to listen to what was being said. If there's good weather outside, there wouldn't be any reason to sit inside. But there is a very good reason to sit inside, because what is to be heard is more important than frolicking on the lawn. So in that sense, it's good. Hare Krishna. Yeah, please come. It's almost time for arati. Please don't sit there. Please come inside. You're going to block the pathway there. We want everyone to come in. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Everyone, please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Can you say a bit more loudly? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare
Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.